I'm Azanez Bautista, group leader.
I'm Emma Beeman.
I'm Diego Martinez.
And I'm Zane Mowbray.
And we're here to discuss King Lear. What is the motivation behind Lear's actions for Act 1, Scene 1?
Who would like to speak first?
I think
we should have decided that.
King Lear is motivated by greed, essentially. He would like to marry off his daughters, and since his daughters are kind of undesirable without sort of like the bounty that comes with marrying at that point in time, he needs to give them a certain amount of wealth that they can give to their husbands. So that's what he does with the land.
Well, he has to marry them so he can give the husbands the land. And like, cause he can't just give the daughters the land because they're women.
Well, right. But I feel like he wants his daughters to be married. So in order to get them married, he must give them a reason to be married.
Like a dowry or...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I couldn't think of the word. Thank you.
But what was your first... What did you guys think of King Lear as a father?
I think that he's not a very good father. He's very shallow and he... Yeah, he's very shallow, and he just wants the daughters to tell him how much they love him, and then they'll get their land as they were going to. And basically, Cordelia doesn't, and he just disowns her like right then and there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he like cares more about appearances than sincerity, and Cordelia is like the complete opposite of Lear. I guess they could be character foils, actually. Maybe.
But I feel like Lear wasn't even necessarily hurt by him or by her saying, like, I don't love you as much as you think I love you. I think he was hurt about it being in public. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It was a pride.
Yeah. So maybe not direct character foils, because I feel like Cordelia does try to keep up appearances, like, she did end up marrying that guy, even though like they had just met, you know, which is a form of keeping up appearance. But I don't know. I feel like she is in most ways the antithesis of Lear, aside from just that one.
What do you think, Diego?
I agree.
Good job, man.
Yeah, I agree with Zane.
Okay, so do you guys think that Lear had a lot of change throughout Act 1? Like in the following scenes, do you think anything in him changed? Maybe he regretted his past decisions, like banishing Cordelia, or the way he treats Kent. Like, what do you guys think?
No, I feel like he's pretty satisfied with what happened, because a lot of people come along, like the fool especially, and he's like, you're wrong, you know, this is what you did was incorrect. And he's like, whoa. I didn't do anything wrong. You know?
I think the fool tries to tell him like all this stuff, but he doesn't really understand because mm-hmm. he's talking like with double talk and stuff. And like, I think he hasn't, but I think he will feel bad in the future, but I don't think he feels bad at all. Like in scene one.
Right. I don't think he regrets anything.
What do you think are his relationships? Well, we know right off the bat his relationship with Cordelia doesn't start off very well. But what do you think are his relationships, for example, with Goneril and Regan, and like Gloucester, all those other characters? What do you guys think about that?
About the relationships?
Yeah, about the relationships he has with other characters.
I think they're all essentially the same. Like, it's like, submit to me and I'll like you. And if you don't, like, you're gone. Like, pretty much, you have to respect me and you have to love me, like, as your king.
That's true.
I feel like there are some relationships that he has with people that are sincere. Like I haven't really heard or read anything about the relationship with Gloucester.
Yeah.
That would lead me to believe that it's insincere or like fake between each other. But like his daughters, his two other daughters, the ones that got land, are definitely like snakes.
Yeah.
They really don't love their dad all that much.
Okay. What about, for example, there's a lot of things that he says throughout the story, like nothing can be made out of nothing, which can go with the theme. And a lot of the text that speaks about seeing and blindness. Why do we think Shakespeare added that onto King Lear?
Well, he's presented King Lear to be someone who is so stubborn that he can't see when he's wrong. Like, not only does he not know that he's wrong, like, not only will he not admit that he's wrong, he also doesn't know that he's wrong because he thinks he's always right, like me. But but he's so blind to reality that he's formed his own reality in which he's always right. And that's sort of the nothingness. And he's going to lose everything because of that. He's going to lose any of the love his daughter's had for him.
Well, he's already kind of lost.
Yeah, he's lost the only daughter that loves him.
No, I think Cordelia may still forgive him, but Goneril and Ruben,
they're already conspiring against him. Yeah. Like, they're telling their friends to treat him bad.
See, no, but I'm sure Goneril, right? I'm sure Goneril would forgive him. The thing is, he's never going to ask for forgiveness because he thinks he's right. So, yeah. Like, she's lost the only daughter that loves him back.
Yeah, that's true. And
wait, Lear disowned Cordelia, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Goneril. I'm going to Cordelia.
Well, she's the only one of them.
Yes.
Like, with her older sisters.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And overall, the book, I know we haven't continued reading The Fallen Axe, but how can we tie all these themes and tones that surround King Lear with the time it was written in, like the societal point of view? It was written in the 1600s. Around that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, back then, like, Shakespeare could only write plays for the king.
Yeah, but, like, please the king.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty sure he took a lot of that. That whole appearance that monarchs kept up with. And probably drew inspiration from that. But what do you guys think?
Think about... About what exactly? I didn't really understand the question.
Yeah.
You're confused? Okay. So what do we think is the societal point of view or inspiration as to how or why Shakespeare wrote King Lear?
Well, it's a satire.
Yeah.
So obviously he's taking the society, like especially the upper society, so like the lords and dukes and duchesses, and he's making sort of a mockery of them. So I don't know that you can say he wrote it for the king.
Mm-hmm. I think he might have, though.
Okay,
I don't think it was definitely, like, I don't think it was saying, like, I don't think it was at the king.
Yeah,
I just think it pleased the king, so, like, the king liked it.
So, like, the king found it amusing, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the king, it didn't have to be, like, flattery of the king. The king just had to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay. But in any event, it's not very flattering of the king, because the sole king in King Lear is King Lear, and King Lear is very obviously not the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who's getting screwed at every turn. He's the guy who can't get out of his own way. You know, he's continuously like only hurting himself.
What do we think is going to happen to him at the end of this whole play?
I think he'll die.
Yeah, he's going to die.
He's going to die.
I think so too.
He's going to die.
I think the good people are going to die too.
I think he might like actually start losing a sense of reality.
I
think he's going to go mad.
I think he'll become poor and then like sick and no one will care for him.
And senile.
And then die.
Yeah.
Senile.
I love this. I love the Nile.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this all roads end with King Lear dying. And then
probably being judged as how he judged others.
Maybe. I mean, has he said anything really like disparaging of the poor or anything?
Because
that's kind of like foreshadowing in my opinion. But I don't think he's really said anything like that.
Yeah, I think he has. Okay. Well, that was good, guys. That's a good conversation. I guess join us for Act 2 for next week. Next week. Yay.
Yeah.
We're gonna let the time.
King Lear was a great guy.